All right, so our talk this morning is entitled The Covenant of the Rainbow, and this happened to be mentioned recently in our Sunday school class, and it also will have a little bit to do with Ezekiel's temple when we get back to that study. But this morning, we'd like to give an overview of the rainbow, its origin, its meaning, and its use in the scripture as a sign of the everlasting covenant. So we'd like to start by reading from Genesis chapter 9. Verses 8 through 17. Genesis chapter 9, 8 through 17. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl and of the cattle and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For perpetual generations, I do set my bow in the cloud. It shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, and the bow shall be that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy the earth, or excuse me, destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember their everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant, which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Following the events of the flood, where the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, and with the saving only of Noah and his sons and their respective wives, Yahweh gave Noah the symbol of the rainbow as a token of the covenant between God and all creatures of the earth, that he would not again destroy the world by flood waters. Further, it confirms that the covenant made in Eden would continue in the earth through Noah. Let's look at Psalm chapter 89, 34 to 37. Psalm 89, 34 through 37. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah. Here, Yahweh confirms that he will not break his covenant. This is the same covenant that was given in Eden, that was confirmed by the sign of the rainbow to Noah, that was elaborated on and established through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it was sworn by an oath, as we read here, to David. This is why it is referred to as the everlasting covenant. It is a covenant that will not be broken. So why is the rainbow used to symbolize the covenant? First, let's look at the natural before proceeding to the spiritual. To start, a rainbow is formed when the sun is shining behind the observer and when rain is falling between the observer and the horizon. The sunlight, or white light, of the visible spectrum is reflected and refracted in millions of raindrops, which act as prisms, separating out the white light into its various wavelengths that our eyes perceive as seven colors. These colors, starting at the outside of the rainbow and working our way inward, are red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet, the last two being shades of what we would consider to be purple. Also of note is that while we typically only see a rainbow as an arch in the sky, that is because the horizon obscures the full view. It is actually a complete circle. So I had two photos I wanted to share here real quick to figure out how to share my screen. Share screen. And hopefully you're actually seeing the picture. There's two of them. I started with the wrong one. First, this is a photo that was taken from an airplane. There was this rainbow, and you can see the circular nature of it, so you can see past the horizon here. So just showing the circular nature of it. And then interestingly, This other photo, now it's, these are typically called a sun halo, and it's the same idea as a rainbow, but it's actually ice crystals that are in the upper atmosphere that cause this effect, and you still also get the rainbow. And I actually kind of like this one a little bit better, simply because it has the sun in the center, which we'll see when we get to Revelation. That's how it's described. You have the sun in the center and then surrounded by the rainbow, or the rainbow about the throne. So I thought that was an interesting one to look at. And interestingly, it is actually the opposite. If you look at the color scheme, though, it's actually the opposite here. So I'm going to leave one of these up. I wonder if they'll let me zoom in. Well, I'll just leave it up like that. You can see it just as a reference as we continue. Okay. So that's the natural. Now we're going to look into the spiritual meaning. The first two symbols presented here are the most obvious. That is the sun and the rain, which are associated with our Lord Jesus the Christ, the light of the world, that is the sun, and then the rain being the water of the word. In connection with Christ being the sun, we've looked at quite a lot of that recently. Let's look at Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. Malachi 4, verse 2, looking again towards the kingdom age. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun, S-U-N, shall the sun of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And another interpretation there is healing in his beams. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. And the day that I shall do this, saith Yahweh of hosts. So sun, S-U-N. In connection with the water of the word, Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the ecclesia and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious ecclesia, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So again, that cleansing through the washing of the water by the word. Looking forward to the time when Christ reigns as king, let's look at Psalm 72, verse 6. Psalm 72, verse 6. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. So when you think the mown grass, that grass which has been cut, that grass of the earth which has been judged by Christ. Also, Deuteronomy chapter 32, 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 32, 1 and 2. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as showers upon the grass. Now let's go ahead and read verse 3. Because I will publish the name of Yahweh, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. And symbol then Christ as the sun of righteousness and the light of the world, working together with the water of the word, reveals to the observer the everlasting covenant, here in the form of seven colors in a circle. And we'd be remiss not to mention that the number seven is the number of spiritual perfection. Again, we mentioned that this morning in Sunday school. You think of the 7 days of creation, the 7,000-year plan. We'll read later on during this exhortation about the seven spirits of God before the throne. But why in this symbol is it a circle? I think there's two main reasons here. First, the rainbow is a symbol of the everlasting covenant. By nature, a circle as a shape has no end and no beginning, just as Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting. Secondly, the circular nature of the rainbow with its sevenfold progression of colors from the outside to the inside shows a step-by-step process of salvation for the righteous. It does so using the same format that we see in the tabernacle in the wilderness, in the temple of Solomon, and in the future temple of Ezekiel's prophecy. In each of these cases, you have the covenanted, on the outside who then proceed inwards in a specific prescribed manner in their approach unto the glory of Yahweh in the center. That's why I actually brought that one picture up that showed the sun in the center. Again, this idea of going in towards the sun. We'll now examine this prescribed manner or method by looking at the various colors in the rainbow. Starting from the outside, you have the color red, which we associate with sin or the flesh. You will remember that the firstborn son of Isaac, who gave up his birthright to satisfy his flesh with a portion of red pottage, was Esau, whose name was Edom, which in the Hebrew means red. The color red is also associated with blood and by implication, sacrifice, or the cutting off of flesh. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 9, 22 to 28. Hebrews 9, 22 to 28. In almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these, speaking of the sacrifices under the law. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I would suggest to you then that the color red in the rainbow represents those who have put off the flesh and have availed themselves of the covering provided to them through the sacrificial atoning work, that is, the shed blood of Christ. So that is the first step in the progression. Without that step, you cannot proceed anywhere any closer towards the center. Next in the progression, we have the color orange, followed by yellow. The color orange is related to fire, which represents trial in Scripture. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 and 13. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. See here also Revelation chapter 7, 13 and 14. Again, on this idea of trial and tribulation. Revelation 7, 13 and 14. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It is through these trials that the saints come forth as gold or tried faith, which is represented in the color yellow. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1 verse 7. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. So the trial of your faith being much more precious than of the natural gold that perisheth. So let's look at Job chapter 23, verse 10. Job 23:10, but he knoweth the way that I take. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And then one more on this, Revelation 3:18. I counsel thee, this is to the Ecclesia of Laodicea, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Moving further inward on the rainbow, we reach the color green, which is symbolic of life in the Bible. If you just search for the term green in the Bible, you'll come up with a myriad of verses, most of which speak of every green herb or every green tree and so forth. Sometimes they're growing, sometimes they're withering away, depends on the context. That being said, we would suggest that in the symbol of the rainbow, the color green is representative of the life. That is, the resurrection to life eternal, granted at the judgment seat of Christ to those who are faithful. The symbol is evident in the account of Aaron's rod, which itself was a lifeless, dried stick that budded forth with almond blossoms in the morning, having been laid up before Yahweh in the tabernacle. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 17, 7 and 8. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Yahweh, and whose hope Yahweh is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Also Psalm 92, 12 to 14. Psalm 92, 12 to 14. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those to be planted in the house of Yahweh shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Here the righteous are to flourish like the palm tree or the date palm, which grows straight up or upright, and are to grow like the cedar, which is an evergreen tree known for its resistance to corruption, both being associated with life eternal. Just as an aside, we'll get to that in Ezekiel's temple, well, we already have, where many of the pillars are adorned as palm trees within that temple structure. Let's read verse 14 here again. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Here we have the righteous continuing to bring forth fruit beyond what would naturally be expected. Additionally, the word flourish here in this verse is from the Hebrew word ra'anan, meaning to be green. Together, this shows the future state of the redeemed that we see in Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. Let's go read that. Revelation 22, 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, and that's more correctly rendered in the plural, the wood or woods of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the wood were for the healing of the nations. So again, every month is yielding fruit. You think of an evergreen tree. Finally, on this point, green is representative of the life provided to redeemed at the judgment. As Revelation 2:7 reads, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the ecclesias. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Moving on to the next color, we have blue, which is associated with godliness, holiness, and healing. Let's look at Numbers chapter 15. 37 to 40. Numbers 15, 37 to 40. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of Yahweh, and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. Here the blue fringes of the garments were to remind Israel to remain holy before God. An abundance of blue embroidery can be further found in a study of the tabernacle and in the priestly garments, again associated with holiness. For instance, the robe of the high priest was completely blue in color, a representation of our high priest and mediator, Jesus the Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30. This is on the aspect of healing. Proverbs 20, verse 30. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Physically speaking, the blueness of a wound, which we would typically call a bruise, informs us that an injury is healing. In the symbol of the rainbow, however, we would suggest that the blue represents an even greater healing, a healing from this fleshly body to a spiritual body. Let's look at Romans chapter 7, 22 to 25. Romans 7, 22 to 25. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. A wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Here, Paul rhetorically asks, who can deliver him from the body of this death? Which he immediately answers with, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Those who are found worthy at the judgment seat will be healed from the body of this death through the full and complete inworking of the law of the Spirit of life and will become perfect manifestations of Yahweh. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, we have indigo and violet. Both of these colors are shades of purple, which is associated with royalty. Recall that Mordecai, the man whom the king delighted to honor, was given a garment of fine linen and purple. The bed or palanquin of King Solomon had a covering of purple. And then the most obvious connection here, when the Jews placed a crown of thorns and a purple robe on Christ, albeit mockingly so. I do believe that there is a reason for there being two distinct colors here representing purple. The easiest way to explain this is in Revelation 5, 9, and 10. Revelation 5, 9, and 10. And they, these are the living ones, the 24 elders, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Kings and priests. Together, these two shades of purple represent the progression from our current royal priesthood and being joint heirs with Christ to these dual responsibilities of the saints in the kingdom as both kings and priests on the earth. Altogether, then, what we have in the symbol of the rainbow is a progression as follows. Those who obey the light of the Sun of Righteousness and the water of the Word choose to come out of sin, being atoned for by the blood of Christ, and through fiery trial will come forth as gold and will appear at the resurrection and judgment to receive life eternal. being healed from the fleshly state of man to become perfect manifestations of Yahweh, and progress from a royal priesthood to being kings and priests in the earth. When all these factors are considered together as a whole, you end up with a picture of the redeemed saints in future manifestation, the bride of Christ, in white apparel. Remember that all these colors of the visible spectrum together make up white light. It's just simply split out into these different wavelengths, but together it's white light. Let's look at Revelation chapter 19, 6 through 8. Revelation 19, 6 through 8. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, that is the bride, his wife hath made herself ready. And to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. With this in mind, we'd like to begin our conclusion by considering the three other times in Scripture in which the rainbow appears: Ezekiel chapter 1, Revelation 4, and Revelation 10. Each of these cases we'll find to pertain to the multitudinous Christ and their future work and glory. First, let's go to Ezekiel 1 and read verses 26 to 28. Ezekiel chapter 1. 26 to 28. And above the firmament that was over their heads, speaking of the cherubim, was the likeness of a throne, and as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw the color of amber, and as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yahweh, and when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. There are a few things we'd like to focus on here, as we will see it again in Revelation chapter 4. First, in verse 26, we have a throne over and above the cherubim in the firmament, or the heavens, with the likeness of the appearance of a man sitting on it. We acknowledge this as representing Jesus sitting upon David's throne, or the throne of Yahweh, in the political heavens. Next, in verse 27, the man upon the throne is described as the color of amber, or you might say orange, as the appearance of fire from head to toe, from head to toe. This further solidifies the position of Jesus as the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness, and as the source of the light of the truth and its purity. Finally, in verse 28, we have the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yahweh round about the throne, likened to the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. Once again, we have the glory of Yahweh in the center, in this case, shining forth from the sun of righteousness, surrounded by the rainbow. As we will see again when we get to Revelation 4, even though Christ and the saints, and ultimately Yahweh, will be manifested openly in the earth during the kingdom age, the mortal populace will still need to approach unto God in a specific prescribed manner, as evidenced in the rainbow about the throne. So not only do I think it represents the saints along with Christ, but also the fact, you think forward to Ezekiel's temple, Christ will be enthroned where? He will be enthroned in Zion, in the Temple Mount, and where those of the mortal population will approach unto Yahweh in the same manner as they did the tabernacle and the temple of Solomon, from the outside inward, as we see in this progression of the rainbow. Let's move on to Revelation chapter 10. We'll do Revelation 4 as the last one. Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. Oops, that's Romans, not Revelation. All right, Revelation chapter 10, 1 through 4. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. So sounds familiar. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. In verse 1, the mighty angel, which we would say represents, again, Christ, descends from heaven from the right hand of Yahweh. He is clothed with the cloud of witnesses, noted by Paul in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. For as it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds, or multitudes, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Here we also see that he is crowned with the rainbow, and his face shining as the sun in its center. Christ is the light of the world, and the one through whom the everlasting covenant was ratified. Further, those who are with him in clouds have completed the process, as shown in the symbol of the rainbow, and have been found written in that opened book of life in verse 2. Also in verse 2, he sets his feet, noted as being pillars of fire, in verse 1, upon the sea and upon the earth, and utters a cry as when a lion roareth, and is answered by seven thunders. Here we have what is often referred to as the march of the rainbowed angel. The feet as pillars of fire, remembering that Yahweh is a consuming fire, stand in judgment upon the beast of the sea and the beasts of the earth, looking on the remnants of the confederacy of nations who had sent their armies down upon the mountains of Israel. The voice as a roaring lion, that is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and the following seven thunders proclaim judgments against those nations to bring them into subjection to Christ. It is after this judgment upon those nations that this rainbowed angel will then sit upon the throne, as we see in Revelation chapter 4. So let's move back to there. Revelation chapter 4. And for sake of time, we're just going to read verses 2 through 6. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, and in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed with white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four living ones, full of eyes, before and behind. Here John sees the same vision that was seen by Ezekiel, but in much greater detail, and of course set at this specific time. Once again, we have one sitting on the throne with a rainbow about the throne, but we have some extra details. First, the one sitting on the throne is likened unto a jasper and a sardine stone, which symbolizes both the divine and human aspects of Jesus. Brother Thomas in Eureka says of the jasper stone, quote, a beautiful cerulean gem, clear as crystal, is the symbol of deity's spirit condensed into substance, unquote. And of the sardine stone, he says, quote, a carnelian, and so called from its color having a resemblance to that of flesh, unquote. Hence, we have God manifest in the flesh. Additionally, the color green is evidently predominant in this rainbow, as the rainbow is described as being like unto an emerald, which is brilliant green. The emerald is the fourth foundation stone of the New Jerusalem and is associated with the tribe of Asher, meaning blessed. And truly, this will be a time of blessing like no other for those who willingly obey the voice of the Lord. In verse 4, we have 24 elders in seats round about the throne. H.P. Mansfield writes in the Revelation Expositor, quote, it is the intention of Yahweh to restore the tabernacle of David as it was in the days of old. The political order of the days of David and in the days of David and Solomon, therefore, provide a pattern for the future. David divided the priests and the Levites into a series of 24 orders. Their duties were to minister to the people in all forms of religious service, including teaching, musical arrangements, and so forth. The 24 elders, therefore, represent the royal priesthood of the kingdom, as based upon the pattern of the Davidic arrangement, unquote. Here in verse 5, we have lightnings and thunderings and voices proceeding out of the throne. The seven thunders have already passed at this point in time, as evidenced in the sea of glass likened to crystal that is before the throne in verse 6. So what we're dealing with in verse 5 is, So right now we are dealing with, in verse 5, the time when Christ and the saints have subdued the earth, and the word of Yahweh has come down like rain upon the mown grass and as showers that water the earth. However, because there will still be flesh in the earth, Christ and the saints must rule with a rod of iron. And that is the source of these lightnings, thunderings, and voices in verse 5. They are laws and judgments proceeding forth from Christ and from the saints, who are represented in the seven lamps of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. To again quote from the Revelation expositor, David had an inner council of seven, which assisted him in the governing of the nation by advising him in regard to the matters of state, in recording events, in guiding the king's sons, supervising the army and priesthood, and so forth. This council of seven typed the seven spirits before the throne of Christ. The guidance and power of the Spirit will ensure that all that is done by the redeemed will be in accordance with Yahweh's will and purpose, unquote. Finally, on this section, in verse 6 through the end of the chapter, which we won't have time to delve into, we have the cherubim and the 24 elders, both symbols of the redeemed in various roles, giving glory and honor unto Christ. And their message is summed up nicely in the next chapter as they give praise to the Son of Righteousness for his work in providing the way of salvation that we see symbolized in this rainbow. So let's read Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 through 14. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the living ones and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. The four living ones said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. In conclusion, the symbol of the rainbow is the symbol of the everlasting covenant. With this in mind, when we look upon a rainbow, we should be reminded of the hope of Israel and should be comforted in knowing that if we who are covenanted remain faithful and stand fast in these last and evil days, we will comprise that rainbowed angel and will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years for a final and great harvest of the earth. To this end, then, brethren, let us be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. Let us be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you. Stop sharing. And stop recording.